Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores, here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett.
We're back.
Yep.
We got to be up to, what, 23, 24, 25, somewhere in there?
This is 20... It's either 2 or 3.
Somebody told me if we may have passed 20, then, you know...
We'll be rich.
We're rich, yeah. Mm. And then I watched somebody else who says, I did a podcast every day for a year. And I'm like, good God. That's dedication. And you must not care about quality at all. But yeah.
We're a little giggly right now because I spent 5 or 10 minutes prior making fun of Brian.
And drinking seltzer water.
And drinking seltzer. Let's just get this out of the way. Sparkling polar seltzer aid, non-alcoholic, by the way, is disgusting.
Not Josh's favorite.
Do not buy it. If you're one of the tens and tens of listeners, do not buy it. Did you buy this at Aldi?
No, yeah, it's Walmart, I'm sure. You know, we always buy stuff, and then when we don't like it, we just bring it up here and say, hey, maybe it was us. Maybe we're the weird ones who don't like. But, you know, it's kind of like LaCroix and all these seltzer waters that people love. They drink them as, I guess, substitutes for diet soda or regular soda, and I can't do it. I make the exact same face that Josh just made trying to drink it.
It doesn't have a taste, but it does.
It's
bad. It's like a faint taste of bad.
Some people really like seltzer water.
Now, if this company wants to make it right and sponsor our podcast, I will publicly take down my negative review. And I will lie about how great it is. But then I'll have to put one of those little like asterisks saying I'm a paid spokesperson.
Well, you know, usually I'd imagine someone in this office likes everything. So my bet's Robert.
I think he does have some, but not the orange ones over in his office.
I bet he would enjoy it.
Yep. He would. He Lawyer. Would have it. Yeah. Lawyer. God, lawyers are the worst.
We like our lawyers.
They're such a necessity, but God, they're the worst.
So... That's a little further. I just started off with he might like seltzer water. Next thing you know, Josh is going down. Just
Brian, are you yelling into the mic because I said you
a little bit,
are dainty?
Yes.
See, Brian wants a windscreen on his microphone, and he asked when he can get one. I said, well, whenever you start talking like a man, stop sounding so dainty. And now he's literally screaming into the microphone.
That's your job to fix with
the water. Yeah, I'm going to have to adjust that later. So, but here we are. It's Monday, September the 26th. Yep. Had a big football game Saturday. Tennessee won.
Exercised a lot of demons.
We did. Extra-sized a lot of demons.
Yep.
Beat Florida. Thank God. We're undefeated. We're like 7th in the nation. Brian, I'm sure you're up to speed on this with all your football knowledge.
Are you just upset because I beat you guys at calling the last game that we talked about?
We never did get to address that.
Yeah, Brian was the closest.
I still think that it's like the whole he went over, so I feel like you forfeit.
You have to establish that ahead of time, though.
The rules.
Yeah,
the
you rules can't. Yeah, it's whoever's closer unless other rules are put in place.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Greenville beat Dobbins Bennett. Tennessee beat Florida.
Greenville beating DB is only good as far as I'm assuming our listener base goes for you,
Josh's,
and your Greenville
friend or two.
I didn't really think about that. But DB played a great game.
They did. It was I was over at the game, and man. They tied it tying touchdown, and then as they're kicking the extra point, you know, run out on the field, timeout. Let's go for two instead, try to win it right here, and it just didn't work out for them. Mm. I mean, it was a heck of a game. They got the ball back. It wasn't with a lot of time in the fourth and drove down and scored to make an exciting game, but they struggled at the goal line all day. And
those kind of calls
it's tough.
Cost you your coaching career later down the – later down the line. People don't forget that stuff.
Yeah, it was rough. I swear, I thought we were heading there with Tennessee, though. Yeah. You know, when they got the onside kick, I think every Tennessee fan was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could just envision it, the Hail Mary. And, you know, it felt like the slowest panning of a camera. And then when it was just two Tennessee guys where the ball was coming down, I don't know that anybody really believed it was Tennessee at that point. But,
right.
Yeah, it was a exercise, like I said, a lot of demons. We've done very poorly when College Game Day has been there. We've done horribly when we've checkered Neyland. We've done horribly when we have Florida in town. And it was finally, you know, one of those ones to get rid of all of that. So
right.
If we beat LSU, which we'll be favored, we're going to be obnoxious going to Alabama. And then, you know, they'll set us back in our place. Yes.
Yeah, the Alabama game's on my birthday. So that would be a great birthday gift. You never know. Crazy things happen.
Just like, you know, we play against Florida and they play us too tight. We've had some games where we've played Alabama tight when we shouldn't. So Maybe this will be one of those.
Well, Brian's bored, so let's...
So let's talk about baseball.
Let's talk about baseball.
So Aaron Judge.
I will say, I thought about getting into sports the other day. There was a lady, Catherine Jones, the director of Names,
Image and Likeness
from UT. And she was talking about sports and the business side of it, and I fully intended to go into the weekend and come out of a sports fan. It just it didn't quite happen.
Well, we'll keep praying for you. It'll happen eventually.
I will say, if you're one of these people who catches one of these magic home run balls, you know, Aaron Judge is about to hit his 61st. Pujols just hit his 700th.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, these people sometimes get vilified for not handing the ball straight over to the players in exchange for, like, a bat. Get something out of it. You know, whatever you feel like it's worth, just make sure if you caught it, get something out, but talk to a lawyer first. Talk to a financial advisor before you just make that decision.
Right.
Because those things are worth $500,000.
Well, and you also got to think, too, right? These guys hitting these home runs make gazillions of dollars.
Right.
They could spare a couple million to get their 700th home run ball back. Sorry, maybe unpopular opinion, but
at least season tickets or something. You know, they can do something, and they will. It's just, you know,
you gotta ask.
You gotta ask.
Yeah. Well, I need to settle a debate. We have rolled into the best time of the year, fall, autumn, whichever one you want to call it. So right now, it's like my Facebook news feed is filled with people super excited about fall, and then all of the summer people are super salty that summer has left us. Brian, fall or summer? Pick now.
Fall. Yeah.
Tell me why.
I like the more temperate weather. I like spring a lot.
And you like
summer and winter, just, I don't know, too hot or too cold usually.
Your sweaters and pumpkin spice lattes and...
You know, you're always coming in with pumpkin latte. I asked Josh the other day if his came with leggings, and he hasn't gotten over it since then.
In my defense, I was drinking pumpkin coffee. I don't care to say that, but it was just black. There was no spice or latte in it.
You know, I haven't had coffee at all in a month or two.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Peter doesn't like coffee.
I haven't had coffee in like 40 years.
He called it burnt water.
Burnt water.
I think about it. I only get coffee every now and then, but every time I do, I'm like, it is just burnt
40
water.
Years strong.
It tastes like burnt water.
So are you summer or fall?
I am. I like summer. Typically.
So you're summer.
Summer, yeah. The problem is...
He looked so scared to say that.
We're in the middle of Tennessee four seasons in a day weather, and I hate this. This is worse than summer or fall. So when you wake up and it's the winter, by about 10 it's in the springtime, then you get to the summer, and then you're back to fall and winter throughout the course of the day. I hate that. I like just having constant whatever it is. I'll adjust. I will say, you know, fall weather... probably a little bit better than summer, but it just lasts so short of a time before you're just cold. And that's my problem with fall. It's like I don't like being super cold, but I don't want to go from 70s to the teens or 20s
so
at night.
Well, it's Tennessee, so we're about to hit, was it Fool's Winter?
Fool's Winter.
But can we all agree that our seasons are becoming shorter, at least fall and spring?
Feels like it.
I feel like summer is, temperature-wise, rooting into at least a quarter of the fall season. And then it just, like what you said, it gets cool and then it's cold.
It's cold. Yeah. And that's the problem. Like, if we could keep in the 70s constantly, you know, you wake up, it's maybe 65, it gets to a high of 80, and then bounces just in between there. I would take fall all year long, but no.
You know what it is?
Global warming.
That's what they keep saying.
Al Gore wasn't that crazy now, was he? Sorry, we don't talk politics.
Something's going on. I'll leave it to people who know, but it's that or, you know, remember when El Nino was a big thing? We used to get to blame all of our weather on El Nino.
El Nino.
Now we just blame climate change, which sounds a lot. You know, climate change is a really interesting thing in that if you go back and look at the marketing of it, we used to just call it global warming, but that's really scary. So they market tested climate change, and that's why we use that term now.
You don't think that climate change is different than global warming?
I don't think the politicians care. They would like to manipulate. So if you're worried about it, it's global warming. If it's no big deal, you know, the climate's changing. That sounds like such a George Carlin type, you know, sketch. It's like, you know, but
it's not warmer. It's just different.
It's just different. And different's not bad.
My friends and I get in this huge debate over this. And I always feel like climate change is a cause of global warming.
I think that would be accurate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
That the climate has to change for the globe to warm. Yeah.
I mean, if you say it out loud and think, it makes sense. Right. I don't know.
I thought the debate's kind of shifted from not is it changing, but why is it changing?
Whether it's man-made or not.
Or not.
And then.
But, I mean, farmers know it's changing because they have to, you know, we can say it feels shorter, but they have certain days that they know.
It's clearly man-made.
Well, and the thing about it is you can cherry pick your data on what makes it good or bad, because you could make an argument that less people will die of climate-related events if it's warmer.
Yeah.
Because extreme colds are worse for you than extreme bad. So normally, or extreme hots. Normally what you'll see, though, is rising waters, heat strokes, and everything else. But then when you go back and factor out the flip side of what happens when your winters aren't as extreme, it's not as top line bad. But you can choose whatever data you want to manipulate it and make your case for whatever. But
that's way too rational.
Bad.
I think we need to start yelling.
yelling.
Calling names. Just go for it.
That fixes everything. Duh.
People understand if you're louder.
That tends to be the problem. The people who are the loudest get the most attention, and whether they're right or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we should talk about some financial things.
This is a financial podcast.
This is a financial podcast.
This is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI.
I know we've been back and forth on some topics, and one was brought up, and I think it's definitely worth chatting about. We were talking about PMI when it comes to mortgages and things of that nature. Brian, do you want to kind of give us a little overview of PMI?
Sure. It's a private mortgage insurance. So if you do not spend, or if you do not put a down payment of 20% on your house, you're going to be paying PMI to the lender. And it's essentially an insurance to protect the lender from you.
Yeah, if you don't pay.
Yeah, if you don't pay. And it ranges from about 0.5% a year to 1.5% a year. And the sooner you can get that 22%?
somewhere in there. If you put 20 down, but if you start with PMI, I think you've got to get to 22.
Yeah, 22%. Mm-hmm. Then you'll see that roll off your mortgage payments.
Yeah. I'm a PMI-er.
I am too.
I mean, it can add hundreds of dollars to your mortgage payment. And there can be reasons to, very rational reasons to not put 20% down.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I think a good example is in a fast moving market where you don't intend to stay in the home for a long period of time, you know, it might make sense not to put as much down and maybe make some renovations that are going to make an attractive flip in a few years. And so if you get a lot of purists out there who are like, you have to put 20% down, there's no point in paying PMI. And like we've always said with everything else, you know, it's a discussion. It's a rational.
Yeah, it depends on what your strategy is.
Strategy.
Yeah, with the home.
Yeah, so I mean, like Peter was saying, it could add hundreds. Even if you're if you have a $180,000 house, I just did some quick math, you're looking at $75 to $225 a month that it's adding to it.
Well, so I opted for PMI because I had a few major renovations that really needed to be done prior to moving into the home. So, but to me, it was worth it to be able to get those things done, have them done, and just pay my PMI.
And if you look at it, the PMI added to it from when Josh and I bought our houses, we could have bought it, we could have saved up the 20% and bought later, but interest rates where they are right now would have hit us and we'd ended up paying that anyway.
Yeah, and with the fast-moving market, you might be able to refinance down the road with your house being worth more compared to its loan. And so you get some equity there that can offset. So it's not the devil. It's not global warming. It's but it's something that you need to be aware of. And I think it's one of those things that – and there's other components to your mortgage payment that a lot of people just sit there and go, okay, well, if I had a budget of $150,000, $200,000, you know, that means I can buy a house worth, you know, where my monthly payments are X. And then they get to the end and they're like, oh, well, why is my math wrong? And they forgot PMI. They forgot some of the other components.
I think homeowner's insurance is, or homeowner association.
Yeah, HOA fees. So if you live in a gated community, your mortgage lender might make your HOA have to go through there. Your escrow of property taxes.
If you're in a flood zone.
Flood zone.
You'll have to pay more in insurance.
Yeah. So all these things add little extras, and where you might have thought, okay, I'm going to spend $1,000 a month on my mortgage payment, and that means that I'm going to have X amount left in my budget. Well, if now I'm spending $1,400 in my mortgage payment for the same exact house, it's just all these other things, you know, where does that $400 come from? And that's when, you know, we get into that financial planning discussion of how many times have we said, you know, if you could put an extra $300 away a month, how big of a difference does it make by the time you retire? Well, you might be paying it in PMI. You might be paying it in some of these other things. And so it's really important to look at all those things before you get to the final decision of, yeah, that's the home I'm going to be in.
Now, is our new office in a flood zone?
It's a stormwater management
Jeez,
zone.
Brian. You got to poke the bears.
I understand rules and regulations and ordinances, and we have to be able to make sure, you know, we're taking a vacant piece of land that now we'll have a building, and the vacant land used to just absorb all the rain. And now our building will divert the rain to the land that's still around our building and assumingly go down into it, but that's not enough. So we've got some trench work that we've got to do to be able to collect things underground and stuff. But yeah, no,
so everybody
we're
else's
not
insurance
flood.
Is going up because we're building there.
No, we're making it better way past what they could like it. Putting our building there with the improvements that we're making to the lot will make that whole area's stormwater plan significantly better on the back of us building it. So it is what it is.
Slash paying for it.
Slash paying for it.
So it's nice of you to take that on for the Colonial
House. Very kind of you.
I tell you what, it'll be worth it. We still just got to get out of here. For those of you who missed it the other week, you know, when Colonial Heights lost all of its power, It came back within an hour or two, but our elevator didn't again. So, you know,
it's always something.
It's always something.
It's like walking into the, it's like some kind of hidden trick magic house or something. You don't know what you're walking into.
How hot did it get over here on you the other day?
It's always hot.
You figure now it's fall, though, so that's why you'd rather fall come around. Right. Summer would just burn you up in here.
No, my AC is out over here at least half the time.
Feels that way.
At mm-hmm. least half the time.
Used to be my office. It seems like they've got our side of the office, knock on whatever, you know, regulated. But this side's been rough.
Well.
Well, I think something else we wanted to talk about, finance-wise. Yeah, just what a mortgage payment looks like. I give my bank, you know, $1,000 a month. How's that $1,000 divvied up?
Right, and all those various components and where they come from. So I think it's important to know whatever your stated interest rate is, they figured that out first.
Yeah.
You know, so if you've got a balance of $100,000 at, you know, and you've got 5% mortgage interest, they take 100,000 times 5%, divide by 12 if you're paying monthly, and that's what your interest payment is.
And that goes in first.
And that goes in first. That gets paid to the bank, and then they figure out your principal. And out of that total that's left, that's where your HOA fees, your escrow payments, all these various things, PMI, and then what's left after all those things are done, that's what goes against your principal.
Right. And so, lowers how much you owe by that amount.
Right. So that's one of the reasons you can manipulate the math a little bit. And if you take the exact same payment and pay it every 15 days, the math works out that you pay off your mortgage quicker because you're compounding over a shorter period of time at that interest rate. So if you had a $1,000 payment, you make a $500 payment on the first and a $500 on the 15th, you will pay your mortgage off faster. It's not huge, but it's enough. Yeah.
What is kind of huge is when you start paying directly toward your principal early on.
Right.
It can be insane.
Yeah. So once they've figured out that interest payment, let's say you've got a $1,000 mortgage payment, $200 goes to interest, and let's say, because I don't want to do the math, all $800 goes to principal on the other side, right? If you make a $2,000 payment, $1,200 goes into, so you've got your $200 that goes, so $1,800 goes into your principal. And the next time they calculate the interest, it's on a much lower dollar amount. So that's where extra payments or changing your payment to biweekly can really make a difference in accelerating. So if you can make just an extra payment, you know, every now and again, it can make a dramatic difference in how long it takes to pay off your mortgage.
The biweekly thing is interesting. I've never heard of that.
Well, you could do
that.
It like out of your checks every other week when you get them, or if you get paid weekly,
like
just figure out
bi-weekly?
How much.
Yeah. Didn't like the way I said it.
Every other week.
Every other week. It's every other week, Josh.
Can't be using fancy words like bi-weekly.
Yeah. Bring it down to my level.
But yeah, no, it does make a difference. You have to make sure your bank's okay with it, that you don't have any issues mm-hmm. with prepayments or doing that type setup. But most of them want you to do it because it's a more attractive loan setup for them. So it can make a huge difference if your cash flow allows for it. The problem that we see for a lot of people is they pay all their bills all at once, or they pay them all at one part of the month after they've gotten a couple paychecks in. And it's really hard to do half of a payment early and then still have enough money to hit other expenses they're hitting due. But if you can make it work, if you can take a couple months and save up so that you can allow for that fudge room to move things around if you were wrong, it can make a big difference.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Hashtag more you know.
What was surprising to me when I started doing the payments is the next year how the payment actually changed, even though I have a fixed mortgage, because the insurance changed on it.
Okay. Yeah. If your PMI changes on it, then yeah.
So it was like actually the insurance and tax segment.
Oh, right.
That was good. Maybe they wanted more to go into escrow to fit some formula that they were hitting. We're not talking a lot. It went up $10. And then the next year it went down $10.
They're trying to guess what your property taxes will be and what your home insurance and HOAs. And so sometimes they shoot wrong in that. And that is the other thing, you know, to be very aware of is know if you've got a fixed rate mortgage or if you have a variable rate mortgage. If you're in a variable rate right now, it's going up. Mm-hmm. All we've seen is interest rates going up. So don't be surprised. Whatever, normally they have some term that says it's locked for some period of time and then they will go to whatever the new calculation is. We could be seeing some pretty dramatic ramp ups. And it may make sense to refinance prior to those if you can to avoid them.
Hmm.
You know, so you could see a 3% interest rate go to 8 real quick.
Well, the Fed's going through and upping it 0.75% over and over.
Well, which kind of leads me to wondering, you know, where are we at in the market right now?
Nowhere fun.
I know I didn't really want to bring this up, but I feel like it's like the elephant in the room and it needs to be addressed. So
Josh used to come over and talk to us. Now he just comes over and looks around and walks back across the hall.
Yeah.
So it's been rough. There's no way around that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the process right now. So if everybody remembers, you know, the end of June into July levels that we were at, where everybody was starting to really get fearful at that time, we bounced off of those pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in the process right now of retesting those levels. If we can hold these levels, which we always have, so there's kind of, you know, you can make, as I said, you can kind of have stats for everything, and they've done a lot of work on this. But when the S&P recovers half of what it's lost, traditionally, we've never made a new low in that cycle. So there's a first time for everything, right? But we're at that point where we're a couple hundred, you know, we're about 100 points away from that, you know, retest. And if we can hold here, the hope would be that we can start moving back higher. I keep going back to, you know, people ask for a glimmer of hope when the market's down like this, and we're down basically 20-some-odd percent. Companies are still making a ton of money. And at some point, the market is going to go back and look at it and say, okay, we understand we're worried about inflation. We understand we're worried about Russia, Ukraine, and China, Taiwan, and, you know, the potential of the Fed slamming us into a recession or whatever it is. But companies are still making more money than they ever have. And that normally doesn't line up with markets being sold off the way they are right now.
Well, usually you'll see them make less money and then their price adjusts to that.
Right. Or they'll grow less fast and you'll have a little bit of a sell-off, but you won't have a bear market because you're not, you know, if you're paying for a company that it was growing 20% a year. So you do all your models and you assume it's going to grow 20%, you know, for all time, which is what we do, which makes zero sense. But we look at trend lines, right? If all of a sudden it's only growing at 5%, you're like, okay, well, it's not worth what I thought it was, and I readjust. But it's still growing, so it doesn't go to, you know, 30% down like we've seen some of these major stocks do. Eastman, I think, you know, especially for our local people here, is a really good example. It's almost been cut in half, even though they've made more money than they ever have.
And they're projected to make even more next year.
Right. Now, it's not at the growth rate. They had some bad guidance. They have issues. Don't get me wrong. But is that worth a 50% haircut in places? To me, it's been overdone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why there is a market. And one of the things that we're seeing right now, and I think why we're having such violent moves in the market when people are looking, is you have very smart people on both sides of this debate that have very wide targets. So, you know, normally when you get some of these talking box people on TV, you know, they're within, on the S&P, which is currently around 3,600 points, within a couple hundred points of where they think we're going to end the year. We're like at 2,000 point differences between some of the smartest people in the room. And so when you get that big of a gap by very smart people, some of it's talking their own book, but some of it is just their forecasts have a very wide swing on things.
And that comes from the issues themselves.
Right.
The issues can, something can happen and, you know, Russia decides not to go into Ukraine anymore and ends it. That's going to be all of a sudden great positive for the market. but they're also, you brought this up earlier, doing the draft.
Right.
Which means that they could go even further into Ukraine, and that's going to cause the market to go down more.
Or they could do the draft, be really bad in Ukraine like they've already been really bad, mm-hmm. and then Putin gets overthrown, and where do we go?
And then the market goes in a direction.
So I think that's just the thing. The unknown unknowns is one of my favorite phrases. You know, they're pretty wide right now and pretty, you know, out there. And I think that's something that has led to this level of market movement that we normally wouldn't see. I think we get past it. I keep telling people, you know, we're still well above our pre-COVID levels, you know, and we're actually about at trend line for pre-COVID to now. If you look at normal growth, that doesn't make it any better when we've seen portfolios come down. But this is the cycle. You know, we always plug in if you could earn 6% a year, and we just got to remember that's normally not 6% every year. It's plus 20, down 20, plus 10, down 3, up 17.
Yeah, it's not consistent.
It's not consistent.
Right.
And we try to even that road out as much as possible for people and put people in a place to succeed. But sometimes we just get these years where nothing's working.
Right.
Safe stuff's not working. Gold's not working. Bitcoin's not working. Stock's not working. About the only thing that's worked this year is oil and gas, which is starting to come down. I paid $292 the other day at the pump, so we're getting there. And some real estate, but real estate's really slowing down with what we're seeing in the interest rate market. So it's just not been a fun year for anybody. So don't feel like it's just you or that you're alone. And please reach out if you do feel that way. But it will get better. It always does. The stock market is undefeated in getting back to all-time highs. And, you know, we'll get there. It's just a question of when.
And this is the only industry that when things go on sale, people run for the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, for younger people specifically, this is a great buying opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. If you can get Apple on a 30% discount, Microsoft, Google, 30% type discounts, buy it, put it away. It's not going out of style. It's not going, you know.
it'll go back up.
I'll tell everyone what not to buy.
It's still going to fit.
Sparkling polar seltzer. Something tells
me. I don't know. They've got a lot of recognition on this program today.
Something tells me it's going to crash. So there's my financial advice. But, so we addressed the elephant that is the market, and we needed to do that. But like you said, Peter, if people do have questions or, you know, have general concerns, and if they have questions that they want on this podcast, feel free to email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. So as we're finishing up here, you know, I just want to say a special thanks to Dr. Pepper, because after having something so gross that I drink, it makes me very thankful for the tasty drinks that we are blessed with. So if Dr. Pepper wants to send us a check, I'm kind of just willing this whole sponsorship into play.
We'll get there.
That's my goal. I'm name dropping. We are now following Dolly Parton on the Facebooks.
Is Dr. Pepper independently owned, or is it a Pepsi product? Or?
It's
Snapple owned them for a while, mm-hmm, and it may be Pepsi now.
Okay.
And
Snapple. Do they still make Snapple?
I feel dated now. I just remember my little messages I would get on the top of the Snapple. I'm sure they still make Snapple. Although I remember, and I know we got to get out of here, but I remember being in a high school stock picking contest and me thinking, you know, well, I've got Dad in my back pocket. What am I going to do? He was like, short Snapple, which is functionally sell Snapple and hope it goes down. And it did, but not enough to win the contest. But it was a badly run company at one point in the 90s. So I don't know if they're still around. But
that's how they lost Dr. Pepper, huh?
It might be.
I always kept up with Snapple by their commercials.
They did have good commercials.
They had a lot of commercials.
Comes from the marketing guy.
Hey-o. Speaking of the best commercials, I want to end on a good burn on Brian. So I do love amazing commercials, and I think some of the best segments of commercials I've seen in a long time has been, what's that?
I know where this is going.
Is it Progressive?
Progressive.
Progressive Insurance, where they have the gentleman who's teaching kids not to turn into their parents.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. It's so... kudos to them. Whoever's creating that, whoever's doing that, has just knocked it out of the park. But Brian is slowly turning into this elderly person, because I have to always tell Brian, we don't need to print the internet.
Anybody who's ever had a conversation with Josh over text or over Discord or anything understands. You've got to hand him stuff so he can process it. And
Brian will send me something, and then 2 minutes later, he'll be at my door with like 15 pages of print. I'm like, Brian, don't print the internet. We don't need to.
I love those commercials.
They are good commercials.
When he throws the live life or live laugh love sign in the trash can, and the lady's face is perfect on it. So yeah, it's good.
All right, well, everyone, we really appreciate you hanging in there with us, and this was fun. And send in your questions again at connect@afiadvisors.com, and we will try to address anything and everything that we can for you. But until then, we will catch you next week, and everyone have a great day.